Thanks for joining us here at the Bridge Church VA Online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, download our app in your iPhone or Android App Store, or visit us online at www.thebridgechurchva.com. We hope this week's message speaks to you in a new way, and hope to see you soon.
Growing in your connection with God, but also being grown in your connection with other people. And so I want to encourage you guys to sign up for that after service as well. So that being said, I've talked enough. I'm excited to dive into part two of our message series, Running from Your Life. And I don't know about you guys, but I hope that last week helped you take some steps, just like it helped me take some steps as I was preparing the message and preparing to hear and to share what God would give us. And how many of you guys were here last week? It's my show of hands. You guys were here last week. I don't know about y'all, but maybe God spoke to you. Maybe he was doing some work in your heart. And so Jonah, the book of Jonah is a very interesting book. We're walking through it for the next few weeks. It's a very short book, only four chapters. So our message series is 4 weeks. Just want you to know that. But this series is very interesting because I believe that as we prepare to go into the fall and reach our city in an intentional way, that a lot of things have to take, a lot of things do have to take place, but there's one thing that has to take place in particular, and that is that we need to be obedient to whatever it is that God is calling us to do. Like, we have to be in alignment with whatever his will is for our life. Like, if we're going to impact Hampton and take the city, as we've been saying, in this fall, and reaching military families and reaching college students and reaching our community at large, then that's going to take intentional effort on all of our parts to make sure that we are in alignment with God's word and whatever his calling is for our life, which brings us to the book of Jonah. Because we talked about in Jonah chapter 1, how you had this guy by the name of Jonah who was a prophet of God, and God would send Jonah out to go preach to this place called Nineveh. And immediately in verse 2 of chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 3, it says that Jonah ran from God. That God gave him a specific set of instructions to go preach, and Jonah says, no, I'm going the other way. And oftentimes Jonah gets a bad rap. You know, you always kind of look at Jonah as the disobedient prophet. But I would caution us to be careful with labeling Jonah like that, because I'm pretty sure each and every single one of us here today has been Jonah at some point. Thought we'd get some more amens there. Matter of fact, I'm willing to believe that some of us right now are Jonah. That there are some things that God is calling us to do right now, but yet we are not moving on them. That's you, Jonah. And so I want to encourage us to take these steps and to not run from God, but to run to God. And so we've named this series Running From Your Life, because ultimately when you run from God and his calling for your life, you are ultimately running from your life. No matter what your age is, no matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, no matter how much money you make, if you are running from God, you are running from life. As a matter of fact, I said this last week. In life, you are either running to God or from him. There is no in between. You are either running to God and pursuing his will for your life, or you are absolutely running away from him. So we talked about that in Jonah chapter 1 and part 1 of last week. We called it On the Run. So today I want to look at Jonah chapter 2. And there's some very interesting verses here that we're going to ultimately look at. And if you want to follow along, you can download our app for free in the App Store. And we actually have some fill-in-the-blank notes digitally on that app. And so you can fill them in. You can send them to yourself. You can take notes, all that good stuff, if you don't like to use pen and paper and all those good things. But I want to look at Jonah chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And I'm going to read it in its entirety so we can get context. Here's what it says. It says, from the inside of the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, in my distress, I called to the Lord. And he answered me, from deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help. And you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas. And the current swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight. Yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. I don't know if y'all noticed. This is nasty. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth barred me in forever. In other words, Jonah's talking about like he's in prison. But you, Lord, my God, brought my life up from the pit. And when my life was ebbing away, fading away like Michael Jordan, fadeaway jump shot, fading away like LeBron right now. I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited. Vomited. That's disgusting, by the way. Vomited Jonah on to dry land. If you're taking notes today, I want to call today's message, When You Run Into a Dead End. Ask the person beside you, are you at a dead end right now? Come on, they didn't say it loud enough. Find somebody else to ask them, are you at a dead end right now? One of the things that's interesting when it comes to driving, you have all these different signs on the road. I remember when I was 16 and I was getting ready to take my learner's permit test, and you had to learn all these different types of signs as it relates to transportation and as it relates to the road. And it was interesting because it was like, if you didn't pass the sign test, then you have no hope to get a learner's permit or a driver's license. Now, if you're like me, I took the sign test 3 times. And it was always one sign in particular that threw me off. It was always a sign that looked like a U-turn, and I would say U-turn sign, but it became something completely different every single time. And it was so discouraging because you would take the test and you'd just be like killing it. Oh, I got that one. You know, left turn, yield on green, and stop sign and yield sign. But then all of a sudden you get to this one and you blow it and you mistake it and you mess it up and the screen just turns black. So I'm like, did I pass? But only to find out you have to take the walk of shame and you go to the registrar's office and they say, Mr. Jones, we're sorry that you didn't pass. And every single time it was the same sign. It's a U-turn sign. It's a very peculiar U-turn sign. And I don't believe that I'm the only one here who's failed a sign test. Y'all not talking back to me this morning. I know I'm not the only one here. The truth will set you free. Some of y'all have failed sign tests over and over again, but you ain't gonna tell nobody. I'm just the only one brave enough to admit it. But it's interesting because there's a few different signs that I think all of us are somewhat familiar with. I brought them up here on the screen, and I think we got them up here for your appreciation. You have this sign, yield. The yield sign. That means it's not the same as a stop sign. It doesn't mean you come to a complete stop. Don't you hate when people come to a yield sign? Just stop. Right? It's like, it's a yield sign. Chill. It means you slow down, notice where you are. But then you actually have the stop sign. That means stop. Now, the reason why I say that is because some of y'all just tried to play me right now and talk about how I failed the test, but you run a stop sign all the time. Right? But then there's a sign that is very interesting. The dead end sign. Now, what's interesting is the yield sign, I've seen people run through a yield sign plenty of times. Not even yield, just run through it. I've seen people run through a stop sign. Don't even stop. Or come to a rolling stop. Right? But I've never seen anybody run through a dead end sign. Maybe I'm naive, but I have never seen it. Maybe you have. But more often than not, you're not going to see people run through that. Why? Because the sign says dead end. But I find it to be interesting that we'll see a sign that says dead end and won't run through it, because we know that there's a potential danger on the other side, that somebody of greater authority or greater knowledge and greater understanding has put a sign here, not so that way we can not get to where we're trying to go, but so that way we can be prevented from some type of disaster that's on the other side. But I find it interesting that we understand these signs in transportation, but we don't understand them in life. Right. So let's go back to the yield sign. So it's like we'll see the yield signs of life. oh, that's no big deal. You just run right through it. And then it's like a stop sign will be put in our life. Go ahead, go to the stop sign. But, oh, it's no big deal. Ain't nobody coming. It's no biggie. And then we get to a dead end sign. And it's interesting because before you got to the dead end right here up on this type of illustration, there were multiple signs that led to the dead end sign. There was precursors and warnings that were leading to the dead end sign. And I found it to be interesting that a lot of times God will put all these different preview signs to let us know that we are going down the wrong path, but we still end up here. Isn't it interesting? Y'all just tried to play me because I didn't know my signs. But some of y'all have been passing all these signs that God's been laying out before your path for a long time. Running. Somebody say running. Oh, y'all ain't talking now. It's quiet now. Y'all laughed at my pain. It's interesting. It's interesting because a lot of times what will happen is we'll find ourselves running into difficulties as a result of running from God. But as a result of running from God, we find ourselves running into dead ends. And this has everything to do with where Jonah is. Because in chapter 1, we talked about how Jonah was running from God. That in verse 1, verse 2, God said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh and I want you to go preach to the people. We're going to talk more about Nineveh next week. Be here. Jonah decides, I'm not going to do it. And we talked about how every step of the way that Jonah decided not to obey God, he went down in everything. He went down to Tarsus, a place called Tarsus. He went down to Joppa. He went down into the bottom of the boat. He fell into a deep sleep. He went down into sleep. He's falling down. Alicia Keys, 2001. He's falling down. Over and over and over again. Why is this important? Because you need to understand that the more you run from God, the more you will go down in everything. I need you to understand that. Now, this is not a message of condemnation. This is really a message of warning and encouragement to get us back to where God wants us to be. Because I believe that some of us here this morning have been running from God, and you've been hitting dead end after dead end after dead end. Now, let me help us understand something. There are some seasons in life where you will be obedient to God, and you may still find yourself at a dead end. But it's one thing for you to find yourself here because you were being obedient and God was leading you. Maybe he's trying to do something incredible in your life. It's a whole other conversation when you find yourself here because you've been disobedient. That's where Jonah's situation is. And oftentimes, that's where we find ourselves. And here's what's happening. Not only has Jonah gone down and everything, at the end of chapter 1, the Bible talks about how he was thrown overboard after putting other people's lives in danger because of his disobedience. I said this last week. I'll say it again. Your disobedience and dysfunction does not just impact you. It impacts other people. Do not for one second think that your sin only impacts you. It impacts everybody around you. It impacts those who are closest to you. Parents, do not think for one second that your decisions only impact you. We know good and well that they impact our entire family. And Jonah teaches us here that our disobedience, it does have some consequences. Our sin, it does have some consequences. He gets thrown overboard. The storm all of a sudden becomes calm. And then the Bible says in verse 17 of chapter 1, at the end, the Lord provided a great fish and it swallowed Jonah up. Jonah is now at a dead end. He can go nowhere. He is stuck. But how are you going to get out of a fish? Now, we don't know what kind of fish this is. People have argued what kind of fish this is for centuries. A sperm whale or big whale. We don't know what kind of blue whale. We don't know the specificity of the type of fish that it was. But that's not the point. Oftentimes, people get all caught up with the tertiary things. That's not the point that God is trying to help us see here. He's trying to help us to see that Jonah, because of his disobedience, has reached a dead end. But in the midst of it, God has a plan. I don't know about y'all, but I'm encouraged, and it gives me hope and joy to know that even when I make a mess of a situation, God still has a way of working things out for the good. Jonah finds himself at an end. He finds himself, the Bible says, in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. For 3 days and three nights. He's at the belly, which is the bottom. He has hit rock bottom. He has hit a dead end. He's inside of a whale, more than like he's inside of some big creature. And I don't know if you know this or not, it's probably real nasty in there. Like, I heard my stomach growling last night as I was preparing this, and I was like, Jonah, is that, do you hear all that type of stuff? It was like the Lord was speaking to me. He said, hey, you hear this on the outside? Imagine how it sounds on the inside. It's like, Jonah, you can have that. Could you imagine how nasty, there's decay happening on the inside of the fish? There's it smells. See, I want to give you the real version of the Bible, because a lot of times when we hear the Jonah story, it's all nice and sanitized. It's like, oh, Jonah was sitting in there and he prayed. No, it stunk. It was nasty. It was dark. He could not see. He didn't have like some little flashlight in there. He didn't have a light on the cell phone. It's disgusting. There's stuff rotting in there. He's in a rotten situation. He's in a deplorable situation. He's in a nasty situation. There is nothing good about this, y'all. It stinks. It's disgusting. And he's not just there for one night and one day. Not just two. Three. I was talking to Aaron about this last night as I was kind of talking through this. We were sitting on the bed. I was like, do you think Jonah got so desperate that he started eating stuff that was in there? He ate for 3 days and three nights. You think he got desperate? Man, that fish over there, that thing looks disgusting. He probably couldn't see. He probably could smell. Man, that got a rotten smell. But, or maybe, you know, some of y'all are like, man, look, I'm just going to have to die of starvation. Could you imagine the situation that Jonah was in? How disgusting it is. And I think the Lord kind of helps us to see and wants us to see something powerful here. That when we run from him, it leads to a disgusting life. It leads to a stench. It leads to nastiness. Matter of fact, a perfect picture of this in the New Testament is when the prodigal son left home. The Bible talks about how he found himself hanging out with pigs eating slop. When you run from God, it does not end well. It is nasty. One of the nastiest things you and I can do is run from God. We'll call you little nasty. Little nasty. I dare you to walk up to somebody and just say that this week. Look, you little nasty. You probably get punched in the face. But Jonah here, he's in this nasty situation, and more than likely, Jonah probably thought he was going to die. Like, how am I going to get out of this situation? I got myself into this. How am I going to get myself out of this? The principle here is we need to understand that when we live contrary to God's word, it always leads to disaster. It always leads to disaster. 100% of the time, it leads to disaster. Matter of fact, Jesus will talk about this in Matthew chapter 7, that the person who builds his life on my words is like his house on the rock, that though the storms come and the waves blow, he doesn't go anywhere. But the person who disobeys my word and goes against my word is like the one who builds their house on sand. Who would do that? We would say that's foolish. That's what Jesus is trying to help us understand. That when we go against his word, it's one of the most foolish things that we could do. It leads to disaster. It leads to an ugly situation. But notice what Jonah does while he's in the belly of the fish. In the midst of him being embedded, notice what happens here. As I was praying this, I was like, okay, Lord, I know there's a whole lot of things that Jonah did in this, and I know that you got to give me something good so that way I can get to the people of our church, because I know they're going to be itching to know, like, I'm at a dead end right now, Pastor. I'm finding myself in a place I can't get myself out of. I'm struggling. My marriage is up against the rocks. My kids hate me, and my finances are acting crazy. My health is acting crazy, and all this stuff is piling up, and nothing seems to be working. Give me some practical steps. Give me something, 5 steps to getting out of a dead end. What can I do? Notice the only thing that Jonah does here. He prays. He prays. And I was wrestling. I was like, come on, Lord. He had to be something else. And I'm looking at the text. And I'm trying to figure out if there was something else that he prayed. He prayed to the Lord. Notice what verse 1 says. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. Jonah prayed. Jonah prayed to the Lord. Why is this so important? Because for the first time in this book, Jonah finally talks to God. Jonah chapter 1, what happened? God was trying to talk to Jonah. Jonah won't try to hear it. Parents, y'all haven't been in a conversation with your children where you were talking to your kids and they just were ignoring you? That's what's happening here. Happens to us every day. Pray for us. That's what's happening here. All throughout Jonah chapter 1, it's like God was, Jonah, come on, man. Go to Nineveh. Jonah, go to Nineveh. Jonah, go, Josiah. Do the, Josiah, Josiah, Josiah. It's like I make a rap record like that. No, yes, sit. Do this. No, no. For a whole chapter, God is trying to get Jonah's attention. Trying to help it. Dude, you're going down the wrong path. You're going down the wrong path. I'm trying to talk to you through the storm. I'm trying to talk to you through these guys who were like, I didn't even want to throw you over, Jonah, but now we got to because you don't get us caught up with your stuff. I'm trying to talk to you, Jonah. I'm trying to talk to you, Jonah. And then God's like, well, you know what? Maybe it's going to take me allowing everything to fall apart in your life for me to get your attention. And unfortunately, oftentimes, God has to allow everything to shut down to get our attention. So he will oftentimes whisper to us when things are calm, but he will shout to us when things are falling apart. In this moment, it's like God is saying, Jonah, I've been trying to get your attention for 17 verses. Mind you, remember what I talked about last week. Jonah's journey to go from where he was to Tarshish was about a 2,000-mile journey. God was calling him to go to Nineveh, 500. Jonah went four times out of his way to disobey God, and it was a more than likely a day-after-day journey. So imagine here. Jonah has been disobeying God and ignoring God for days, more than likely possibly months. And he's supposed to be the prophet of God. Ain't that something? Not listening? No, I don't want to hear you. No, I don't. I hear you, but I'm not listening. I hear you. I hear you saying God, but I'm not listening. I hear you calling me, but I'm not listening. Some of us, that you are there right now. God is calling you. You hear him. You hear him loud and clear, but I don't want to do it. I'm not listening. Nope. And he's like, man, like, do I have to allow everything to fall apart in your life for me to get your attention? But Jonah shows us what we need to do here when things become bad and when we hit a dead end. Pray. But what's the principle in him praying? He's ultimately turning to God. That for the first time, Jonah is no longer running from God. He now is running to God. It took him a while. He was in remedial, but he got here. And many of us right now, spiritually, we are in that boat where God has been trying to get us to do something for a long time. And I thank God that he is so patient with us. Because if God wanted to pull the plug on Jonah, he could have did it after verse 3. But for a whole other chapter, day after day, God was still faithful to Jonah. You ought to be glad that God did not give up on you when you decided to run away from him. Jonah finally turns to God. Some of us would be very, very antagonistic. It's easy to turn to God when stuff falls apart. It don't matter. He turned to God. He had enough sense to turn to him. It don't matter when, as long as you do it. Do it. Do it now. Do it today. Turn to God, and notice that God allows him to get in a deplorable situation, a very uncomfortable situation, to bring him to a place of understanding. Let me say it like this. Sometimes God has to bring you to a place of obscurity in order to bring you to a place of maturity. Sometimes he has to make you very uncomfortable to get you to mature. Right? So, like, we don't like to have to go through difficult seasons, and we don't want to be disciplined, but parents, you know good and well that sometimes it is only through discipline that maturity can take place. And the reason why God disciplines us is not because he doesn't love us, it's because he loves us. And what he's trying to help Jonah here understand is, Jonah, I had to allow this situation to happen. I sent the fish to swallow you up, Jonah. So that way I can bring you to a place of maturity. And the enemy will convince you that once you hit a dead end, that it's over and that God is still with you, that you have no purpose. But let me encourage you that no matter how dead a situation looks, God has a way of turning it around and working it out for the good. Is there anybody who is grateful to know that it is not the end, that even though I hit a dead end, that God has a way of bringing life out of dead things? It's interesting here because when Jonah turns to God, In his prayer, I think he does teach us something about who God is and some of the things that God does through his prayer. Here's the first thing. Number one, that we turn to God at a dead end, because in doing so, we discover that God is with you in it. He's with you at your dead end. Notice verses 1 through 7, verse 2 rather. He says, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. Notice what Jonah says here. From my distress, I was in a distressful situation, and I called out to you, and you answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. How can God listen to you, and how can God answer you if he's not with you? Y'all see what's happening here? The reason why God can answer him and listens to him and hears him is because Jonah in the midst of what Jonah is in. In other words, let me say it like this. God has not abandoned Jonah, even though Jonah tried to abandon God. God is with you in your dead end. In other words, he hears your cries. He hears your struggles. He has not left you. He has not departed you. He has not abandoned you. He has not forsaken you. That's why the Bible says, I will never leave you nor forsake you in sickness and in health. Essentially, that's the principle, that I'm with you always, even to the end of the age, even in your dysfunction, even in your disobedience. You can't get rid of me. That's how much I love you. I thought I would get some more amens right there. Because many of us in here, all of us in here, have found ourselves in situations like a Jonah, deplorable, a disaster, but yet God was still there with you in it. And it's interesting because I like how Jonah gives a long laundry list from verses 2 through 7 of his situation. Let's keep reading. He says, you hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers, they swept over me. In other words, he's talking about when he was thrown in the water. I said, I have been finished from your sight. In other words, Jonah said, Lord, I thought I screwed this up so bad that I knew you had to have cast me out. But notice what he says. Yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The engulfing waters, they threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. This is disgusting. Seaweed, John. I don't know if you've been to the beach lately and you've seen seaweed. It is nasty. It feels disgusting. It has a nasty texture to it. Imagine your head being wrapped around it. Come on, somebody. Y'all ain't talking. Look, you know how you wrap your head at night when you go to bed? Imagine wrapping it with seaweed. I was talking to Aaron about this last night. I was like, it was like this dude was mummified with seaweed. He was wrapped in a nasty situation. It was all around him. No matter where he went, it was just disgusting. Decay was everywhere. But notice he doesn't stop there. He says, to the roots of the mountains, I sank down. Notice the downward language. The earth beneath barred me in forever. He's talking about he feels like he's in prison. I can't get out. But you, Lord, I love that. But you, Lord, my God, my life up from the pit. Notice what he says in verse 7. It gets even worse. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your temple. Notice what Jonah's saying here. It did not matter how bad my situation got. Things continued to get worse and worse and worse, but God was with me when it got worse, when it got worse, when it got worse. He was still with me. God was faithful to Jonah. Even when it was nasty, even when it was ugly, even when it was terrible, God was with Jonah in each and every moment. God was still there. He still had his hand on Jonah. He was still in control. He had not abandoned Jonah. He had not forsaken Jonah. He was still with Jonah. And I just want to encourage somebody today, if you feel like that you have stepped so far outside of the will of God that God is not with you, that is a lie from the pit of hell. Let me say it like this. You may be outside of the will of God, but you are never outside of the reach of God. It doesn't matter how far you've strayed from God. God has a way of still being able to reach out to you right where you are. God has a way of being able to meet you where you are. But Pastor Edwin, you don't know some of the dirt and some of the grimy stuff that I've done. Know what Jesus does, and yet he still reaches out to you. And yet he still loves you. Yet he is still for you and not against you. Yet he has not forsaken you. He still has plans to prosper you and not harm you. He is still in control. Amen. He's with you. He hasn't abandoned you. I love what Psalm 23 says. It says this, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Verse 1. Verse 4 says this, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you're with me. Notice what it says, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That means death is around the corner somewhere. But yet, I don't have to be afraid because God is with me. God is with me when things are most dangerous. God is with me when I'm experiencing dysfunction. God is with me even when I am disobedient. There's been so many times where I have done things that I know God had not called me to do, and I felt the presence of God right there with me. It was almost like Jesus was just, you gonna do that right now, for real? Really? 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 Like you don't know better? And at times, I oftentimes will feel convicted by the Holy Spirit and, you know, going down the wrong path or sinning and disobeying God. I'm like, golly, Holy Spirit, why are you here? But when I look back on it, I'm grateful that the Holy Spirit is here, because had it not been for the Holy Spirit and the presence of God being in my life, I would not have been able to be dragged out of the situation and out of the disparity of life to become who I'm called to be today. So you want to thank God that God was with you in your mess. Thank God. Thank the Lord that he does not abandon me. Here's what Psalm 139 verse 8 says. If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. In other words, there is nothing that you can do to get away from God. That is how madly in love with you he is. That there is not a single thing you can do that will cause God to stop being faithful and good to you. That is real love, y'all. That is real faithfulness. Is anybody grateful that no matter how far you stray from God, God is still with you? I thought I would get a few more amens on that. I thought I would get a few more hand claps on that. Because you know the stuff that you've got, and you know that you did not deserve the grace and the mercy of God, but because God was good to you, he never left you. And I love it because Jonah doesn't just stop there. He doesn't just stop and talking about how God heard my cry and he answered my prayer. He was with me. But he also shows us through his prayer that God can rescue you from your dead end. In other words, God can rescue you from it. If you came here this morning trying to figure out how am I going to get out of the situation that I am in, I've made a mess of my life. It is dysfunctional. It is a disaster. Everything is falling apart. Can I give you good news even more today to let you know that God can rescue you from it? Notice what verses 8 through 10 say. But I with shouts of grateful praise will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. Verse 10, and the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah on to dry land. Notice here that after all that Jonah has been through, he helps us to see that God is the only one who is able, has the capacity, and the willingness to save him from his plight. He is the only one who can do something about the situation that he is in. I don't know if you've ever been there when you found yourself in so much mess that the only thing you knew the best to do was to cry out to God. You said things like, if God does not do it, I don't know how it will happen. Has anybody ever prayed that prayer before? Has anybody ever said those things before? That if God don't show up, I don't know what's going to happen. But all of a sudden, out of nowhere, God showed up and he did the very thing that you were expecting and praying and hoping he would do, because he is faithful and he is good and he can rescue you from whatever disaster you've gotten yourself in. It doesn't matter how dark your situation is right now. It doesn't matter how much of a disaster your life is, not because of God, but because of your mess. God can still rescue you from it. And he is not short on saving grace. He says here, salvation comes from the Lord. Jeremiah 32:27 says this, I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me? And it's a rhetorical question. No, nothing is. Nothing is too hard. In other words, God can help you break your addiction. God can break the pattern of dysfunction and disaster in your life. God can rescue you from your brokenness. There is nothing in your life that's too hard for God. And oftentimes we become very short-sighted and short-term memory when it comes to the very power of God, because we find ourselves in deplorable situations and we get in these despair-type situations as if God can't do something about it.
But God's like, if you would just cry out to me, if you would just reach out to me, you will realize that I can rescue you from it. Now let me put a pin there. It may not happen the way you want it to. Who wants to get vomited out of a fish? I mean, I want you to go here with me. Put on your thinking caps here. He gets vomited. When was the last time you've seen vomit? Jonah didn't just come out the belly of the fish all nice and pretty. He was covered in stuff. But yet, though he was covered, he was delivered. Do you see the principle here? That yes, I may have all this stuff and all this baggage, but God has a way of being able to rescue me from it. I love it here. Because I love how Jonah says things like what he says in verse 8. He says, those who cling to worthless idols, they turn away from God's love for them. Why is this so important? Because idols, if you don't know anything about idols in the Bible uses this word idol to describe false gods or ultimately anything that we place above God. Money, sports, career, marriage, kids, relationship, health. Anything that you place above God is an idol. And some of us right now, where our disobedience and dysfunction is happening, is because we're idolizing everything else except Jesus. And let me help you understand something. When you place anything in the place of God, it will always lead to disaster. And oftentimes what we do is we put these God-type expectations on things that are futile. And what happens is, when it lets you down, you become disappointed and you get frustrated with God as if God was the reason for it. God was like, I didn't tell you to worship your boo. I didn't tell you to worship your job. And then all of a sudden, it gets taken from you. And now you're trying to figure out, where is my life? Where is my satisfaction? Where is my purpose? And Jesus is saying, it is all found in me and in only me. Only God can rescue you from this. I like how Jonah says that those who turn to worthless idols, you know what he says? You're turning from the love of God. In other words, when you entertain anything else but God, when you set your heart and your affection on anything else except God, you are ultimately turning away from his good love. And at first glance, when you see that word love there, it's easy for you to just attribute that word to what you may think it means. But in the Hebrew understanding of the Hebrew text in the Old Testament, that word love in the original language translates to this Hebrew word hesed or kissed. And what it means is this deep covenantal type of love of God. Here's what I'm saying. Jonah's helping us see that the covenantal love of God, meaning that God is with you forever, that he will not abandon you, that he can rescue you, that you can count on it, that it is consistent, that it does not end, that it is eternal. That is what he's trying to communicate here. That when you turn to everything else but God, it is a faulty demonstration of love. But when you turn to God, you find an everlasting love. A love that never runs out. A love that never runs dry. A love that never gives up. God rescues Jonah from his plight and his sin and his disobedience, and he can do the same for you today. But here's what's interesting about this text, because we'll oftentimes try to make this about Jonah. This text is not just about Jonah and his disobedience. More importantly, this text is about God and his faithfulness to Jonah. I don't know if you know this, but the Bible's not really about you. Like, seriously, it's not about you. I don't know if you knew that. The Bible is about God and his redemptive plan that he has for your life. The purpose that he wants to exact through your life. It didn't really have nothing to do with Jonah more than it had to do with God. So it was almost as if God is saying, I'm going to allow everything to shut down in your life so that way you can really see how faithful I am to you. Jonah, I'm going to let you act a pure fool and run from me. I'm going to let everything in your life shut down, get ugly, get nasty. I'm going to let you hit a dead end because maybe you getting to a dead end will be able to help you see how good I am. And this is important because Jonah would need to know this as he gets ready to go to preach to Nineveh, which is next week. But oftentimes what happens is we don't take the posture of seeing God's faithfulness when things begin to shut down in our life. We oftentimes will begin to blame God, but God is saying, I didn't bring this to you so that way you can curse me. I brought this to you so that way you can see how good I am. That I kept you through it all. Like, you're the reason why this is messing up, Jonah. I don't know if anybody told you this. You're the cause for all this calamity. Like, it was your disobedience that brought up this all on your life. It's all you, Jonah. It's all you. But what I want you to see is how good I am in the midst of it. How faithful I am in the midst of it. And this story is really, it's a bigger picture of a greater issue that we have. Because Jonah's sin here was disobedience to God and running from God and not listening to what God was calling him to do as a prophet and as somebody who was going to go and share this message of salvation with the Ninevites. Jonah's plight is a picture of our spiritual condition. Because our spiritual condition, at our core, apart from God, we sin and we go against God, and there's nobody that can save us from ourselves, not even ourselves. And so what God does is, just like he intervened in Jonah and he delivered Jonah through the whale, some thousands of years later, God the Father was Jesus to deliver us from our grave that was due to our sin, our wickedness, our disobedience. And so in other words, God said, I'm not going to let you die in your sin. I'm going to send Jesus to do it for you. Here's what Paul was saying in Ephesians chapter 2. He says, in your transgressions, you know what you were? You were dead. You were dead in your transgressions. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 2. He says, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Verse 4, but because of his great love for us. That's like my favorite verse of all the Bible. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. This does not sound very similar to what Jonah said here in Jonah 2. Notice what he says, that my life was ebbing away. Later on, he would say that God saved my life. He brought me up from the pits. In other words, he resurrected my life. And what Jesus does some thousands of years later, all of Scripture points to Jesus and what he would do. The resurrection of Jesus is a bigger picture of what God did for Jonah here in Jonah chapter 2. And the resurrection of Jesus brings us out of the loneliness of our life. It brings us out of the dysfunction of our life. It brings us out of the depravity of our life. The resurrection of Jesus brings life to every single dead situation as a result of our disobedience. And every person in this room should be saying amen and thank God for the resurrection of Jesus, for the blood of Christ. Thank God that God did not let me die for my own sins, but Jesus took upon himself all of mine. Because of his goodness, because of his grace, because of his love for us. God is so full of mercy that he did not let Jonah die in the belly of the fish. God is so full of mercy that he did not let you die in your sin. You want to know the reason why you're here today? Because of God's grace and because of God's love, because of God's mercy. And let me say it like this. If God can resurrect Jesus from the dead, he can rescue you from your disaster. You want to know how you can trust that God will be faithful to save you? He raised Jesus from the grave on the third day. He conquered death, the grave, sin, and evil. He is able to rescue you. He can rescue you. But here's my question that I want to close with today. Will you let him rescue you? Because Jonah, even though he turned to God at this dead end, he didn't have to. He still had a choice. He could have been at the bottom of the well and could have still had a hardened heart towards God. But yet, instead of having a hardened heart, he humbled himself and cries out to God and asks God to rescue him, to save him. And that's exactly what God did. That's why the Bible says that any person who calls on the name of the Lord, they will be saved. The question that you have to ask yourself today is this: will you let God rescue you? Will you stop trying to be your own captain? Will you stop trying to be your own savior? Would you let God rescue you from the mess that you've created in your own life? And many of us came in here today with a prideful heart and with a prideful mentality. I got myself in it. I can get myself out. No, you can't. You will make a continual mess of the mess that you've already made. Only God has a way of taking a mess and bringing forth a miracle. But will you let him? Will you let him rescue you? Will you let him save you from the dysfunction and from the dead-end situation that you find yourself in? Will you turn around? Will you run to God? Would you pray to God? Would you seek him? Jesus says this in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way, Jesus says. In other words, there is no other way out of this situation other than through me. The way out is through Jesus. The way out is by trusting him. The way out is by turning to him. And the question I'm asking you today is, will you turn to Jesus? Will you stop turning to yourself? Will you stop turning to sex? Will you stop turning to alcohol? Would you stop turning to a career? Would you stop turning to everything else? Would you finally turn to Jesus today? And this is the same message. It was almost like Jonah needed to get this message in his own heart so he could go tell the people of Nineveh this some chapters later. That's what God is calling you today. Will you turn to me? Would you stop running? Stop running. And some of us, you've been running from years from the very thing that God's called you to. Some of us, you're in your 60s, you're in your 50s, and you've been running for the past 30 years from the very thing that you know God's been calling you to. Some of us are teenagers, and you've been running from God for just enough time, because you're young. Too long. And today, he said, the day you hear my voice, would you not harden your heart? You just turn to me. Because when you turn to me, that's when you begin to see things turn around. And the thing that you do when you see a dead end sign is what? You turn around. It's foolish to run through the sign. Turn around. Do you know what the word repent means? To turn around. Turn. Turn. Turn to God. That's my hope today. That's been the thing I've been praying for all week. That's really what I've been praying for all year leading into this message series. That you would just turn to God. And some of us, man, there's specific things that you need to turn to God for. Some of us, man, you've been hopping from church to church, and God's like, would you just finally make up your mind and find a place you can plant it so you can grow? Turn to me. Some of us have been, like, ignoring, forgiving some people for things that they've done to us. And he said, would you just turn to me and forgive them? Like, you think that you're holding them hostage, though you're holding yourself hostage. Like, would you stop trying to trust yourself to provide for everything? Would you just trust that I'm the one who can provide for you? Turn to me. Turn. So with everybody in the eye closed, here's my question to you today. Will you turn to him? You've hit a dead end right now in your life. Will you turn to him? Will you run to him? Or will you continue to run in the opposite direction? Will you turn to him? Or will you finally say, today is the day where I'm no longer going to run. Today is the day where I'm going to turn to Jesus. And I believe that some of us are here this morning, and you have not turned to God yet. You have not given him your life. And today, he's saying, give me your life. Trust me with your life. Trust me with your everything, your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. Give me everything. When you give me everything, you will see that I have exceedingly abundantly more ask or imagine. Turn to me. Turn to me. So my little head is bowed and the eyes closed. If you're here this morning and you're saying, Pastor Edwin, this is me. I need to turn to God. I've been running from him for so long. I've been just being disobedient. And so much stuff has been happening in my life as a result of my dysfunction, as a result of my decision to disobey God. But today, I'm ready to come back home. And we're here to say, welcome home. Welcome home. All of us have strayed away. All of us have run from God. But today, today can be the first day of the best days of your life when you run to God. So if you're saying, Pastor, this is me, and I'm ready to give my life to Jesus, I'm ready to say yes to him today, I want you to say these words, and I want you to believe it, and I want you to believe it. I don't want you to play around with this. I want you to utterly, from the depths of your heart, cry out to him this morning. Say these words. Say, Jesus, save my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you rose from the grave on the third day so that I can have life and have it more abundantly. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for being good to me. Thank you for not leaving me. In Jesus' name. And every person said amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for the faithfulness of God this morning. Come on, y'all can do better than that. Come on, amen. So here's what I want us to do. If you this morning have said yes to Jesus and you have made a commitment to give him your life, I want you to pull out that connection card that we mentioned earlier in services in the front pocket in front of you.